Welcome to the Discotech Podcast. Today we're going to talk about Picard Season 2 and the themes of the season and different topics. And we're not going to go sequentially like we normally do when we're doing episode reviews, because there have been several since last time we had a chance to meet together. So instead of rehashing every little detail, we're going to talk about the bigger themes of the show this season. So today we have Rachel.
Hello.
Hi, Rachel. And Lewis is joining us from Argentina.
Hello.
Hi, Lewis. So our first topic is the biggest one, I think, that's gotten the most attention on social media. Agnes and the Borg Queen. And they are now somehow joined. So where we left them, the place that we got to so far, is that the Borg Queen seems to be in Agnes's mind permanently, even though she doesn't really have a corporal body.
Yeah, I do not know where this is going, but I'm intrigued. And like, I really like Agnes as a character. I was like, this is probably bad for her. Like, but I really like watching Alison Pill like act. So I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting to watch whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think this is going to be a very good chance to know more about the Borg Queen, because we know what we saw in First Contact and some Voyager episodes. I was always looking forward to know more about maybe the history of the Borg.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I do like how she describes the Borg in such a positive way, and it really reinforces, like, nobody thinks they're the villain. Mm-hmm. She thinks it's, you know, very benevolent, her whole deal.
Someone needs to teach the Borg Queen about the idea of someone consenting to something.
Right.
Like, maybe that police officer liked his nicotine addiction so just fine.
Right. The only thing I felt, it was a little unfortunate that it happened to Agnes, because it sort of feels like a different flavor of the same ice cream that Agnes ate last season when she was controlled by the Romulans, right?
I get that. I did see a tweet. It was like, when her lawyers discover she's been like manipulated by another like evil alien, they're like, what the hell? Like,
it's a lot. She's gone through a lot already.
Did like this, you very clearly see like Agnes was not, use the word I just used, consenting when the Borg Queen did like,
yeah,
put that thing in her, because she's clearly going through something, and the Borg Queen like puts her hand on her and
right
just like messes with her brain. Although I do think Agnes makes the most sense of everyone who's in there to do that with, of her being like, oh yeah, she feels alone. Most of the other characters have someone, and Rios feels a little too independent to be manipulated in quite that way.
Yeah. And she had the science mind. So she knew, well, we hoped she knew what she was doing when she went in. But I just kind of wish that they'd gone a different direction instead of loss of agency once again for her character. But at the same time, it's been a great story so far this season. And I think it's going to continue to be. The only thing is, I felt like it's kind of like a replay, kind of a rehash of the same theme for her. But you know, as long as I'm entertained, it's really fine.
It's entertaining, and they got her in that red dress that I'm obsessed with, so I'm good with it. I really did try to scour the internet to see if they like bought that somewhere. Although if they did buy it somewhere, it's probably not in my price range.
Wonder if you could get some sort of a remake. Yeah, like a H&M model.
I bet if I looked at like prom dresses, I could find something like remodified. Although the neckline is pretty, it's like a very unique V to it. This is not a fashion podcast. I'm just obsessed with it.
It wasn't a fashion podcast until Picard started. And then we were all, look at the tailoring on Seven's jacket. We are trending that way.
I think there's something, because they're in modern times, that all of a sudden these characters are actually wearing things we could, like, can and would wear.
Yes.
Outside of, like,
instead of the uniforms.
Most Starfleet things are uniforms, which I do own. but I don't wear out if I am not trying to like be like, look, I'm in a Starfleet uniform.
Right, like for an event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second topic, Talon is the new Laris 2.0.
Mm.
I'm glad that Orla Brady has a larger role this season.
I am too. I am interested to see, because she clearly doesn't seem to know who Laris is, and it doesn't seem to be a Romulan. I'm interested to see like what the connection there is.
Yeah. I felt like she was definitely, as an actress, she was underutilized last season. And same. I'm a little disappointed she's not the Laris. But again, mm-hmm. let's wait and see where this goes, because everything so far the writers have done has been really exciting this season. So what do you think, Lewis?
I'm also curious about where are we going with this Laris or not Laris? What is the connection? Because I don't know how they are going to explain why she's like that.
Yeah. Is it a Q thing, or is it just a face comes up, you know, so many times in so many years? There's that.
Oh, we saw Elnor.
We did.
Yes, for just a second.
Mm-hmm. Which gave me hope for Elnor's future, because I was like, why would they be bringing him up if Elnor wasn't going to come back in some way?
Yeah, I am disappointed that, you know, even if he does come back at the end of the season, we missed him for most of season two, and that's sad to me.
Yeah, I kind of assumed that, oh, he'll come back at the end of season two, and that was disappointing to me. This made me think something else will happen.
Sooner.
Something will happen sooner. And that's just storytelling, like buzzing, tingling, where I'm like, why would they be like having her flash to Elnor randomly one time in the middle of this episode?
Is it a simulation? Is it some sort of simulation? And that's why these faces are coming up like this.
Mm.
That's interesting. Although I don't think Q seems to be going through it. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, like, he does. Because something is off with Q.
And I'm going to say no in that. Well, like, there's a lot of people playing double roles this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brent Spiner and Anissa Brunez. I don't know that this actually means anything, but apparently the actor that played Seven's husband is Anissa Brunez's father.
In real life.
Like, yeah. And I was like, what? Like,
yeah.
But there's a lot of, and I was like, that's really interesting. And I don't know if that's supposed to be like, no, they just got the face for the androids, including Soji, from a past Soon, which does seem plausible because the Soons all seem to be narcissists.
I was going to bring that up in the Soji is back. We'll go ahead and move to that topic. I kind of felt like, okay, now we know why her face showed up in the painting in season one as the daughter, because it was in there as a memory somehow.
Yeah.
For Data, I felt like maybe was
either,
the answer.
I figured it was either a memory, or at some point when he found out his creator was, he like looked at ancestors and saw this woman. And who I would assume, in the original timeline, I would assume this woman would have died fairly young.
Because of the genetic defect.
Because of the genetic defect that we're looking at right now.
Right.
And Brent Spiner plays every student you ever meet. So
yes. So, we see Dr. Soong, Brent Spiner.
Is this the third or fourth time playing someone with that last name?
I don't know. That's a question from Memory Alpha.
Yeah.
Yep.
So good for him.
Yeah.
He seems to be having fun with it. So
yeah, I think he was just against playing Data again. So
I think it's just Data doesn't age.
Yeah.
And also, even though he's played a million Soons, he's played Data for a very long time. But like at least more episodes than he's played any other character.
And he does emotion so well.
Yeah.
In this episode, you really get to see it. So it is a shame to hold him back and make him be an android.
Yeah. And he clearly does care about Data, because he clearly last season wanted to give him like a proper ending.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe he wants to smile sometimes. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. So we see Dr. Soong working on a cure for Corey. Yes. working on a cure for Corey's genetic defect, and Q offers him a possible cure. So we see another branch of Q's plan coming together here, aside from what seems to be his main focus with Picard's ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where he's headed.
I kind of love that I'm like, I don't know what the hell Q is up to.
Yeah.
Usually he's chaotic, but like in a way that you're like, nah, it'll be fine.
Right.
Like this, I'm like, oh, he's losing it. And that's really genuinely kind of scary.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
I did love where Picard has to have the camera turn around to see the therapist and notice that it's Q.
Yes.
Which is good for dramatic tension. But I was like, as soon as you heard that voice, you didn't realize it was John DeLancey doing a German accent.
As soon as I heard the therapist's voice, my heart skipped a beat. I was like, that's him. It's him.
And you know what? We've probably actually heard Q's voice way more than Picard has because, like, but I was like, that is clearly John DeLancey. Wait, did you guys, you know, he gives Dr. Soong a card and it has like a telephone number on it?
Yes. I called it immediately.
Yes.
Did it work for you, Lewis?
I didn't try calling.
Oh, okay.
I think I read somewhere that it doesn't work outside the US, but someone recorded it and put it on Twitter.
Oh, good.
I actually tried before I watched the episode because I watched this episode kind of late because I had a busy weekend and I did not have time to watch the episode, but I was getting my nails done and I just saw someone texting about it. So I just called the number and I was like, hopefully this doesn't spoil anything. And it didn't. It was just Q big.
Yeah. It was great.
And it was amazing.
It was good. I actually like Q better this season in Picard than I did in the old TNG days when he was maybe a bit grating on my nerves.
That's fair. I feel like he might be a little more interesting when he's like, hey, this is he's kind of supposed to be a villain.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't know what it says that my favorite episode has always been Deja Q, where he ends up getting like injured repeatedly.
I think he's also more fun in DS9.
You mean when Sisko punches him in the face?
Yeah, it's satisfying.
That is. Yeah, I think it's fun on Voyager, and I do love that it's completely, like, a completely reasonable thing where they were like, why doesn't Q send them back? Nah, he doesn't feel like it.
Sure.
Like, yeah, he would do that. He's a jerk.
Yeah, that fits.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to help. I did love the play of the name Renee with Picard's nephew.
Yes.
Who unfortunately died in Generations, and they brought the name back with a gender swap.
That was really good because I assumed when they said ancestor named Renee, and even though I know Renee is a gender neutral name because and the Picard family had been used for a boy, I was like, oh yeah, it's some guy.
Right.
And I also love the idea that apparently that Renee was named after this Renee.
Mm.
I would assume.
That's the theory, yeah. They brought it back.
There's also something interesting with Picard's brother naming his son after like an explorer when he is the one who like stayed put.
Mm, that's true.
And I was like, ooh, fascinating. I want to study that like psychologically.
Right. The whole season two has been a commentary on our current time because it's just the not too distant future and immigration and racism and lack of charity. And they're really in a Star Trek way, shining a light on the problems of our day and this time travel going back to what they're saying is before it was changed by Q. This is where we're headed with no interference is sad and also feels realistic and sort of depressing. But then of course you have that hope that Star Trek always offers is okay, we're gonna figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I couldn't help but like be, I guess, sad about how easily they were able to work in the like current situation with like ice into like the already established sanctuary cities that they like made up and were like, this is bad. And I was like, oh no, we did that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God. I was like,
yeah.
It's like kind of like, oh, I hate that you are 100% right about this.
Because when DS9 came out, like, didn't it seem, I mean, I watched it more recently, but like, didn't that seem far-fetched that we would have gone to that point?
Like, they guessed the year correctly. Like, I was like, who on that show had like psychic powers and what else do you need to warn us about?
Well, let's hope they're right about the positive things.
Yes, agreed. It's also, so could we also, we haven't talked about young Guinan at all, right?
No, we haven't. We need to.
Although I say young Guinan and I don't think she's actually that much younger than like Whoopi Goldberg was on TNG.
Oh.
Like, I don't know. I think she's a little younger than her, but.
What is your opinion of recasting versus
the de-aging?
Yes. What is your opinion on recasting instead of the de-aging software, the way that Star Wars and Marvel tend to go?
I'm pro recasting. Deep fake technology is creepy.
Yeah.
I also think genuinely more morally dicey when you start to, when like you what they have done with actors who have passed away. I think it's one thing when they do it with actors who have passed away, who like passed away in the middle of a project, like Carrie Fisher or Paul Walker, and you have permission from your families to like, they were working on this and they clearly like, they consented to be in this.
Mm-hmm.
When you have like Rogue One and you have like Tarkin.
Yeah, Grand Moff Tarkin.
Passed away. And the weirdest thing is Ben Mendelsohn is clearly playing someone who, like, you could have just had him play Tarkin and just been like, this is what Tarkin is. That actor has passed away, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
De-aging with an actor's permission, I think is less, I have less problems with, except that I think it kind of takes away from an actor's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I think it's really hard to, if it's more than a couple scenes, I think it's really hard to really show emotion with it.
And it was an opportunity for another actor to take on the same character.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I'm not that Star Wars has never done that. I mean, obviously Solo kind of did the same thing. They had a new actor to play Han Solo, which I loved. I loved Solo, and I know a lot of people didn't, but I love it was Solo. Fun.
I think it's really fun. Like with the Mandalorian / Boba Fett, I was like, oh, if you're going to have Luke appear this much, you should have recast him.
Yeah.
Mm.
And also Sebastian Stan looks like a young Mark Hamill, like, and he's already famous.
He's right there, and he already works for Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Could have just sent him over to the Star Wars side for an hour. Would have been fine.
I prefer that. Like, I don't necessarily mind it as much if it's just for like a couple of flashbacks, like they do, or with Q, they did with it very Q, briefly.
Yeah.
Or this is not Marvel or DC, in a couple seasons of the newest Bridgerton series, they de-age characters slightly in flashbacks. Because there's a couple scenes where Anthony is supposed to be like 18. And so the only actors from you see are him and his mother that are that, and everyone else is. All the other children are either in the distance or like they're actors that are just playing like their age. And I think it being done subtly is like different, but I think it's being done too much.
Yeah. So we are pro recasting.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Last topic. Mm-hmm. Are we going to run into the DS9 episode where they go back to 2024? My guess is no. The Bell riots were late August, early September. And so far, Picard is in April.
I would guess no for that reason. And for just, I think it'd be really complicated to like maybe most would get like a brief like Easter egg for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the like hoops you would have to go through to get everyone who's in that episode. Avery Brooks doesn't even act anymore.
Right.
Even like if you wanted to film anything new, you'd have to either recast all three of them or try and de-age them, which I guess sometimes, at least with Star Wars, when they do the de-aging, they don't even have the actors on set. So I guess that could be done with Avery Brooks, but it seems like a lot of work to me.
They gave themselves a nice time buffer between there. Maybe they could mention Belle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As a cameo of some sort.
If anything, I think maybe we would see the original Belle.
Mm-hmm.
Who you did, I think you could get away more with recasting than, even though it was cool that he was played by like Avery Brooks' like stunt person, right? That's how they were able to find an actor that looks so much like him.
I didn't realize that.
I read that somewhere.
I know it's not going to happen, but what if they use somehow the Defiant to go back to the future?
That would be fun. I would love that, even though I do not think it will happen, but that would be fun. Where all of a sudden Picard is like, wait, there's someone else here from our future.
Yeah.
Although if they went back to like Deep Space Nine era, they still would be pretty far away from like where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
And I think it'd be interesting for Picard running again. I was like, oh, Miles is looking younger than I remember him.
Now, I believe they're going to the future by the hand of Q, not going to use any starship or something like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that Agnes is going to have to do it?
Especially because I've seen theories that I think could be correct. I don't necessarily like know that. Do you want me to say what the theory I saw is?
I mean, it's not a spoiler, it's a theory. So.
Yeah, it's a theory. Mm-hmm. The theory is that Agnes is the Borg Queen from the first episode.
That has the mask on.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
But... I don't want that. But I saw the theory and it was like, oh, that could be true. Like that's not a bad theory.
Yeah.
Although I do honestly feel like if that is Agnes, there probably is like some alternative, like not malicious intent behind it.
Which is why she wanted to speak to Picard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh shit, I started the thing that got me here.
Yeah. That's an interesting theory and I could see that. But also, yeah. I want her to go live a happy life with Rios, so I'm rejecting it.
My little shipper heart, we're like the first, they like, he's the first person to react to her covered in blood.
Yep. Because he still cares.
Yes, exactly. And I have to remind myself, I was like, I have fan fiction. If this doesn't work out, I have fan fiction.
That's right.
Although I thought they might be going for something romantic with the woman that helped him in the hospital.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all.
She was nice, but I was like, sure. I also, like, he has to go home? Like.
I was just, I'm not shipping it. I don't even need to see this. You can move on.
I was correct. It was that man who played Belle was Avery Brooks' stunt double.
Oh, nice.
And Tim Russ's, but.
Oh, wow.
You know, good for him.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me for the Discotech podcast, our discussion about Picard season 2. We will be back probably at the end of the season to sum up our thoughts on the way everything turned out. And I'm excited to talk to you then.
Yeah, can't wait.
All right.
See you then.
Bye. Bye.